In Jacksonville, scattered clouds, 81 degrees there. It's partly cloudy as well in Taylorville, where it's 82 degrees. Overcast skies in Alton, 79 degrees there. In Indianapolis, mostly cloudy skies, 76 degrees. Elsewhere in Indiana, South Bend, partly cloudy skies, 81 degrees. Overcast and 81 in Terre Haute. In Bloomington, Indiana, overcast, 76 degrees there. At Willard Airport in Champaign, we have a few clouds, and again, those clouds should clear and provide for mostly sunny skies as the afternoon progresses. The temperature, 82 degrees, the dew point, 70, winds out of the north at 10 miles per hour. The humidity is 67%, and the barometric pressure, 30.07 inches and falling. And outside our studios on Friends Plaza, it's 82 degrees. Listening to the Afternoon Magazine on member-supported public radio, WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Our technical director is Jason Croft. More than 20 million college students across the nation start school this month, just weeks after James Holmes, a Colorado graduate student, allegedly shot and killed 12 people in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. Holmes had sought counseling from the University of Colorado. Earlier this year, a consortium of Midwest journalism professors and students found that campuses are strapped for counselors to meet a growing demand for services. Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access and the Investigative Journalism Education Consortium has this report.
The e-books, you would have to buy upstairs in electronics, I believe.
On the Thursday before school begins at the Illini Bookstore at the University of Illinois Urbana campus, parents and students are busy buying books and other supplies for the new school year. With student enrollment on the rise, campus counseling centers are seeing an increase in a demand for services. Carla McCowan is director of the counseling center at the University of Illinois Urbana campus. She notes students coming onto campus are different than they were 5 years ago.
More students are reporting that they had suicidal ideation or attempts prior to coming to college. So the student profile of, you know, when they get here, they've had a pretty significant mental health history. That didn't used to be the case.
Dan Jones is director of the Appalachian State University Counseling Center in North Carolina. He says increased enrollment, demand for services, and students with mental health history have created a perfect storm for counseling centers, and too many students are not getting the support and services they want or need.
A lot of counseling centers have to keep people on a waiting list to get them in as soon as they can, and sometimes those waits are weeks for weeks to get into ongoing counseling services.
Jones is also president of the Association for University and College Counseling Center Directors. Recently, the group released a statement on the shooting in Colorado.
Statistically speaking, the mentally ill are more likely to be the victims of violence than the perpetrators of violence. And we also know that the base rates for rampage shooters are so low that there are no reliable, valid ways of predicting violence like that.
In its statement, the group urges support for increases in college mental health services. Yet over the past few years, campus mental health centers have struggled to provide services amid budget constraints. Despite recommendations that counseling centers provide one counselor for every 1,500 students, many can only fund one counselor for every 2,000 students at best. High-profile campus violence, such as the shootings at Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois University, prompted college campuses across the country to create better ways to identify and help troubled students. This adds to the demand of campus counseling centers. Ann Glavin is president of the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators. She says campus violence has been documented since the 1800s, but with larger school populations, there's a greater chance of incidents occurring.
The challenge, I think, for campus law enforcement, indeed for colleges and universities and mental health counselors in higher education, has been how to get people into these safety nets earlier and get them identified and get some help and resources.
Such campus safety nets have taken the form of teams dedicated to behavioral intervention care or threat assessment. Typically, these teams are made up of people from several departments across campus, including mental health services, student housing, and campus police. Dan Jones says there is no science to predicting violent behavior, but he says these safety nets can help students who may be potentially dangerous to themselves or others.
The side effect of having all of those safety nets is that more and more people are being referred to the counseling center, but the economic situation in recent years has not allowed for much increase in staff and resources.
Jones believes nationwide support is needed for college mental health services.
I wish we could influence the federal government, but we'd almost have to influence 50 state governments and the board of trustees for all the private universities. And so it's hard to lobby for a countrywide change, but I think that's what we need.
Without it, the perfect storm Jones describes could make it all the more challenging for colleges to identify and treat troubled students. For Illinois Public Media, I'm Pam Dempsey.
Coverage of this story is funded by the Robert R. McCormick Foundation of Chicago. For more about mental health issues on Midwest campuses, visit ijec.org and our website, will.illinois.edu. Tropical Storm Isaac has dismantled Illinois Republicans' convention plans. With national convention events canceled, they will no longer spend today nominating Mitt Romney as their candidate for president. That leaves an opportunity for them to focus on state politics. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky now reports from the RNC in Tampa.
You didn't have to be a Republican to get a sunny Florida welcome at the airport.
Hey, welcome to Tampa, y'all.
Thank you.
You coming out Southwest?
Yes, sir.
A flock of volunteers and a person dressed as a pelican, dressed as a pirate, greeted everyone getting off a plane in Tampa. The festive spirit continued for Illinois delegates at the hotel where they're based for the week. Mimosas and champagne were waiting for them in the lobby. Also waiting in the lobby, Illinois politicians, especially those who may have their eye on running for higher office, like Senator Kirk Dillard of Hinsdale, who spent a lot of time there Sunday chatting with delegates and with reporters.
I've been lucky to be at every Republican convention since Detroit in 1980. Radiologists go to the radiologist convention. Golfers flock to the Ryder Cup, which is going to be in Illinois in my area of the state in a couple of weeks. And it's a political convention. I love the history. I love the pageantry, even though it's scripted. And it's important to be here. And you get the messages. You meet a lot of people.
Dillard's one of a handful or so of names that often gets mentioned as the GOP's next potential nominee for governor in 2014. Look for that to be an undercurrent to the week's events. A gathering that brings together most of the party's head honchos is the perfect time and place for politicians to put out their feelers, to make connections with potential donors and supporters, and to quietly posture.
You know, I hope not, because we have a mission in 2012, and that's to get as many Republicans elected as we can and support Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan in the presidential race. So people can do it. I would prefer they did, and I think we need to focus on the task at hand, which is the 2012 election.
State Party Chairman Pat Brady.
We've got a lot of work to do. A lot of people are excited, particularly excited about the recent poll numbers and fundraising numbers. And we're very excited to hear Governor Romney's speech, because I think it's going to lay out his life story and what he wants to do for the country. And I think it's going to be very compelling.
Republicans from across the nation were supposed to spend today officially nominating Romney and Ryan. But the intrusion of Tropical Storm Isaac forced organizers to cancel the day's events. A Tampa Bay radio station warned of high winds and pelting rains.
We're looking at sustained winds probably in the neighborhood of 35 miles per hour. Definitely tropical storm strength. And you might have gusts up to 50 miles per hour tomorrow here in the Tampa Bay area.
Of particular concern for Illinois, the delegation's hotel is in Clearwater, nearly an hour's drive from the main convention center in downtown Tampa, a drive over long causeways that may have to be closed if Isaac lets forth its full wrath. Instead, delegates will spend today at the resort, where last night showers already began to let loose. State officials say that Isaac hasn't changed their plans much. Illinois Republicans will still begin their day with a breakfast and a slew of speeches. But the beach party they'd had planned for the evening, that's been moved inside. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
WILL programs are made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, offering more than 3,000 certified organic products, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar and bulk foods department, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 27th of August, 2012. The birthday of Theodore Dreiser, born Terre Haute, Indiana, 1871, who gave us the novel Sister Carrie and An American Tragedy. Sister Carrie, he wrote when he was in his 20s, about an 18-year-old country girl from Wisconsin moves to Chicago, live out her dream, uses her youth and beauty to become the mistress of wealthy men so she's able to live in comfort and lead a sophisticated life. Dreiser wrote, when she boarded the afternoon train for Chicago, her total outfit consisted of a small trunk, a cheap imitation alligator skin satchel, a small lunch in a paper box, and a yellow leather snap purse containing her ticket, a scrap of paper with her sister's address in Van Buren Street, and $4 in money. It's the birthday of the novelist who wrote under the name C.S. Forrester, born Cecil Smith in Cairo, 1899. His first successful novel was The African Queen, 1935, later made into the movie. It's the birthday of the philosopher Georg Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, born in Stuttgart, Germany, 1770, who started out studying Christianity and was interested in how Christianity was based on opposites, sin and salvation, earth and heaven, church and state, finite and infinite, and came up with the concept of the dialectic, the idea that all human progress is driven by the conflict between opposites, that each political movement is imperfect and therefore gives rise to a counter-movement, which is also imperfect and therefore gives rise to yet another counter-movement. And it was on this day in 1930, one of America's most eligible bachelors got married, H. L. Mencken, 49 years old, who had always made fun of romance, who called marriage the end of hope, married his girlfriend of 7 years, Sarah Hart, of Montgomery, Alabama. She was an English professor and a writer. She died of meningitis just 5 years later, and Mencken, grief-stricken, edited a collection of his wife's stories and published it as Southern Album. Here's a poem for today by Jane Kenyon, Trouble with Math in a One-Room Country School. The others bent their heads and started in. Confused, I asked my neighbor to explain, a sturdy, bright-cheeked girl who brought raw milk to school from her family's herd of Holsteins. Anne had a blue bookmark, and on it Christ revealed his beating heart, holding the flesh back with his wounded hand. Anne understood division. Miss Moran sprang from her monumental desk and led me roughly through the class without a word. My shame was radical.